Welcome to Life Church, where we believe in equipping people for an extraordinary life in Christ through the Word, Spirit, and relationships. We hope this podcast will enlighten and bless you.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the greatest show on earth. As a matter of fact, it is. Because see, right here in front of you is everything you ever want and everything you ever need can be found. It's a place where God can give you a million dreams. It's a place where in His presence you can choose to come alive. It's a place where you can find that you're worth more than the shine of 1,000 spotlights. And this world will never be enough. It's a place where on the other side you find life and freedom. It's a place where you can say, this is me. It's a place where if you're walking the tightrope, you can find peace in life. It's a place where you know that God would rewrite the stars that mean that you would be in relationship with Him. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you the greatest show on earth. I'd like to welcome you this morning. As you may know, I am not Pastor Ken. And as we like to say in the theater, the show must go on. So here I am. In fact, this morning you might think of myself as Pastor Ken's understudy. You know, I've always found the concept of the understudy intriguing, actually. And those of you that aren't familiar with the theater, as we like to call it, might not know what an understudy does. But an understudy is someone that's on hand that at the last moment can fill in for a performer or handle a situation if the lead cannot go on. It's interesting because an understudy has to know every part, every line, every song, every action that the lead actor is going to do. I also find it interesting where the lead roles are picked based on their talent. The understudies are actually picked based on their reliability, their versatility, and their capability to hop on stage at any moment that they could possibly be needed. And why is that? Because the show must go on. You might ask yourself, well, what is the craziest instance of that? The craziest instance found of an understudy going on was in one of a Broadway performance. There was a flying scene where the actor was being lifted up and cracked one of her ribs. So she finished the song, but her understudy had exactly 7 minutes to do all of her stage makeup and costume to be out on stage to finish the whole second act as the lead performer in the play. Pretty crazy, huh? But you might ask, what is the big deal with this? And here's the reason why. An understudy and all those things are so important is because the show must go on. And I pose the question to you this morning, if the church truly is the greatest show on earth, what will we do to ensure that the show will go on? See, the show goes on when those involved take deep ownership and responsibility to what they are doing. They understand that each person together has a part to play. We have a role to play in this great show. It's each of our responsibility to show up and make things happen. Even the understudies, we know when to hop in and to make things happen because it must keep moving forward. And the same thing is to be said of being part of the church. When you come to church, you bring an integral part that adds value to the whole. Each of you are part of helping the show go on. And you might ask yourself, what of a big deal would it be if the show didn't go on? What would it look like if these things didn't move forward? Well, I'll show you a picture this morning. In fact, in Scripture, we get a picture of what happens when the show stopped. We can find it in Judges chapter 2, verses 7 through 10. It says this, "The people worshiped the Lord throughout Joshua's lifetime, and during the lifetime of the elders who outlived Joshua. They had seen all the Lord's great works He had done for Israel. Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110. They buried him in the territory of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres, in the country of Ephraim, in the Mount of Gash. The whole generation was also gathered to their ancestors." But here's what I want you to hear this morning. It says, "There, after them, another generation arose who did not know the Lord or the works He had done for Israel." So there was this great generation, But after this great generation, there arose a generation that knew not even the Lord or the works he had done for his people. You might ask, this generation that passed, who were they? Well, the generation that passed with Joshua were pretty phenomenal. They would be the generation that would have saw the conquest of Canaan and then take the promised land. They would have seen Joshua assume leadership of Israel after Moses passed. They would have seen the Israelites cross on the dry ground where the priests stood in front with the Ark of the Covenant. They would have seen Jericho fall as the people of Israel marched around it. And they would have seen the sun literally stand still in the midst of battle. A generation pretty phenomenal that's seen the works of the Lord and the deeds they had done. But it's crazy to think that Scripture tells us that there arose a generation after them that knew not the Lord or what he had done. And I pose this thought to you this morning. No matter how great the miracles or how dynamic the leader one generation experiences, they must be intentional to invest into the next generation. I'll say it one more time. No matter how great the miracles or how dynamic the leader one generation experiences, they must be intentional to invest in the next generation. That's how the show goes on. That's how the show moves forward. Because it says that they knew not the Lord, meaning his character, or what he had done, meaning his deeds and his miracles. Here's the reality. As much as the people of Israel had seen, surely those kids had at least heard as a bedtime story. Who would not tell crossing the Jordan or the sun standing still as a bedtime story? Surely they had heard as a bedtime story, but it had to move from just a thought or a story to reality in their own hearts. And I challenge us today, church, to think, not only can we recount stories to the next generation, but we have to take ownership in investing and imparting it deeply into them, for them to know and to follow. Because see, we have to make the key investment so the next generation knows of both the character and the works of God. And yes, of course, it's living our faith out, but it's a step past just simply living our faith out. It's saying, you know what, I'm making an investment into people because why? The show must go on. You may wonder this morning, why is it so key? Why is it so important we invest in the next generation? Or you might even ask yourself, what is the Lord doing in this generation? Well, as a matter of fact, I'm very glad you asked. Because as you've noticed, recently our students went to camp, and they have some phenomenal stories to tell. And so over the next several minutes, you're going to hear a combination of both on the video screen and live here in person, testimonies of what the Lord has done. So ladies and gentlemen, I give you the greatest show.
Hi, my name is Amy, and I had an amazing experience at camp. Something that really touched me the whole week was before camp, I had issues with this girl at my school, and she just did some things that affected my friend group, and so I had many prophetic dreams about her, but I never had an opportunity to really speak into her life. And on Thursday night, the speaker told us to text someone that we felt needed to hear something good and that we were praying for them. And so I messaged this girl and I told her that I was praying for her and that the entire week that I was just thinking about her, and I told her that God loved her. And I didn't hear back from her for a while, and then she finally responded and told me she appreciated it, and we're on pretty good terms now, so that's good.
Hi, my name is Addie, and I went to youth camp for the first time this year, and Jesus really blessed me because he had someone pray over me, and it was exactly what I needed to hear, and so Jesus just blessed me so much.
If I just keep my focus on God and do a daily devotions and just stuff like that, I can keep following God and better my relationship with him.
I learned that God is there, and if you ask for him, he will show you that he's there, even though like your answer might not come right away, which for me it did, basically came right away, but other than that, like, you gotta just keep praying.
Hi, my name is Caleb Temple, and I went to camp for the reason everyone went to, like, to get a connection to God mostly. And while I was there, it was the first day, and I went to go up there because I wanted to give my love to God. And I kneeled down and I cried for probably about 30 minutes straight, not gonna lie.
Second day at camp, I started feeling God's presence, and when everybody started praying for me, I had this warmth over my body, like kind of a warmth, but like numbing at the same time. And my friends, they were there to help me through it.
And then I went up on the box and I felt God's presence rushing over me, and it was amazing. I've never felt that same thing like that in my entire life. Even when I went to camp last year, I didn't feel anything. But that just, for some reason, hit me there. I cried, and it was a really great experience.
But the whole camp was just an amazing experience, and I'm really thankful that I was able to go. And I really recommend it to anyone who hasn't gone.
That's awesome. Can we celebrate that? Amen. And here's what I'll tell you now, church. I said the other group, in some settings, they tell you to hold your applause. Applause is welcome at any moment and during the rest of the testimonies today. So we'd love for you to celebrate with us when it comes. Yeah, Dylan's raised. All right, let's clap. But feel free to clap anytime you feel, yeah, that's awesome. We are ready to celebrate what the Lord said. All right, so you're going to get to hear from a combination of leaders and students and parents this morning about some of the life change. So we're going to kick off with Pastor Jesse. He is the youth pastor for the Rockford campus.
Woo.
Oh, Rockford campus. Yes. And the Lord just did some awesome things, of course, in camp, but for you guys with the students from the Rockford campus as a whole. So tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, for sure. So this year was an amazing trip to camp as a whole. But for us from the Rockford campus, we took more students this year to camp than we've ever taken to camp before. We actually over doubled our numbers from last year. Yeah, so it was just an amazing time. And out of those students who went to camp, a lot of them was their first time ever going to a church camp, ever even going to a summer camp for a lot of them. So for them, they didn't have any idea what was coming for them. And a lot of them, I said to the past few services that you just have to know their stories. A lot of them are just going through a lot of hardships. A lot of them have dealt with a lot of abandonment, and they just have dealt with a lot of issues, been through a lot of stuff growing up on the south and west sides of Rockford. And for them to go to this camp, we knew, and we've been praying for them for a long time, we knew if we could get them to go to camp, and get them away from their struggle for 5 days, that they would have an encounter with Jesus. And they did. God just came and showed out above and beyond. And one of the first nights at camp, the speaker had everybody come down, and there was a soapbox. And it was amazing to see about, you know, almost 1,000 students taking up their soapbox and saying, being symbolic of them saying, I'm taking ownership of my relationship with Christ. I'm taking ownership of it. For some of them, it meant different things. Some of them, it meant they were giving their life to Jesus for the first time, and they were stepping up on that box. Some of them, it meant they were rededicating their lives to Jesus. And for some of them, we had one student, and she was one of the last ones to go up on the box. And she was just sitting there and fighting in her head if she's going to do it or not. And just to sit there and watch, and not even saying a word to her, just to sit there and watch on her own, she just decides in front of everybody she's going to own her walk with Jesus. And that's just the most amazing things that happened at camp. We saw, yeah, you can clap for that one. Amazing. So we saw students set free from depression, from anxiety and panic attacks. We saw students just be set free from just abandonment and knowing they have a perfect Father in heaven that's for them. And we just want to take a quick minute to plug. We have two amazing events coming up. You can see on your chairs, we have our rally night coming up in September. That's our huge fall kickoff. You don't want your students to miss it. We want everyone to come out, the parents to come out. Everyone's invited, and we're kicking off a movement that we're going to take into the fall. And if you flip that card over, you see this We Are the Revolution, our winter breakaway. And that's just our culmination moment. If you have a student, or if you are a student, you're like, man, we missed out on summer camp. We missed out on being a part of these testimonies. Winter breakaway is the next step up. And we're so excited for what God's going to do with our winter breakaway this year.
Yeah, no, it's so good. In fact, like you were saying, it was crazy because there was something, I was telling someone in the foyer during the last service, or in between, like something changed in the atmosphere. People began to step on the box. I mean, they were just these basic wooden boxes, but as people began to step on the box, you could see the sincere commitment in their hearts. And just changed them so radically, so, so good. All right, next up we have Dylan. Hey, those of you that, I'm going to piece it together. You may have saw Dylan just got baptized a minute ago, so we want to celebrate that. That's phenomenal. In fact, hey, we had several students, you probably caught several students that made some really good mileage with Jesus. We had some other testimonies as well, but several of those were students this morning that had a radical encounter with God, and they came back and said, we want to be baptized. So I love it. So all right, Dylan, tell us a little bit about your story from camp.
Camp was great. So on the first day, right, where you stood on the box, I felt like God was calling me for a while. There was just this urge to, like, go up there, and I did, and that's when I accepted Christ into my life. And today we made official with the baptism. thank you. A couple days later, we were doing a little prayer session, and there was a girl who didn't have anyone praying for her, and so I went over there and laid my hands upon her, and I asked the leader to come and help me because I'm not comfortable in doing that on my own. And the leader said, "Are you going to pray or am I?" And I was shocked because I didn't really want to do it. But then I felt like I was supposed to, and then I just started saying all these things that I noticed from her the past couple of days, and it's almost like I knew what I was saying. thank you. Camp was really fun. I encourage people to go if they haven't.
That's awesome. We're so excited about. I just want to say this, you know, we've seen God working on your heart for a while, Dylan, and so it was just cool for you to make that commitment there at camp and see what God did, so it was pretty phenomenal. All right, so we have Becky next. Becky, one is a leader, but Becky's also a parent, and so I told her, I said, hey, kids go to camp, and then we drop off the bus, and they leave out, so we're like, but for real, it's fun. But I said, you know, someone that's going to go home with the teenager that went to camp, what does life change look like for that from your point of view as a parent, seeing the life change that happens from camp there, what's continuing on? Right.
Well, going as a leader is really, that was really awesome, just to see the seeds that get planted in our kids. And just know that if you help these students get to go to camp, I mean, that's a huge commitment on your part to help them, the ones that aren't financially able to do it, but it makes a huge difference in lives. I mean, seriously. And my mom heart is thankful for that because there have been years where we couldn't afford it. And, you know, the willingness of you guys to pour into the students is just a blessing. So, but from a parent's perspective, it is really cool to see the seeds that do get planted from camp. And so my daughter comes home and she gives me the lowdown on, well, this is what we talked about and this is what the services were about and this is what I learned, this is what God has spoken to me. And to see that play out in her life and how she walks that out on a daily basis, and how she walks that out as she goes back to school, and the things that God has planted in her from camp this year and the year before and, you know, in previous years, all of those things just multiply as she walks out her walk with God. And it just, you see that growth from that seed that gets planted, and you get to see that growth in her as she walks it out to reach her friends and her family and just the people around her. So it's really good to see that.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thanks, Becky. So good. So here's the thing. We took, and once I want to kind of chime with what Becky said. Thank you. So many of you guys gave financially to help students go to camp. So you get to be a part of these stories. So many of you gave to help get the second bus because we needed a second bus. We had so many students go, which was phenomenal as well. Thank you for that. Yeah, we could celebrate that. Had pretty much twice the amount of group going. So with that, that meant we needed extra leaders to go. So we took a whole bunch of leaders down there with us. So we want to take a second and let you hear a few more of the stories from some of the leaders that went to camp with us.
Hi, I'm Molly, and I had the privilege of going to camp this year, and it was incredible. I have to say my expectations were blown through the water. I kind of expected a nice camp with some nice teachings and we'd get closer, but what I experienced was what I felt like was almost the verge of revival with the students. It was incredible, and I really feel like this generation is a generation that is going to see the next great awakening, that maybe even is the generation that's going to just usher in Jesus. And it is such a privilege to pour into them a little bit. And just that realization really hit me at camp, just to realize these aren't just kids. This isn't just a camp, but like literally this is the next generation and possibly the generation that's going to see the Lord's return. And so many things have been spoken over this generation, that they're rebellious, etc. But really this generation is bold and creative and free. And they don't want to play church, they want to see Jesus.
I've been to church camp as a student, and it was for myself. You know, I went to go see God for myself, but this I got to see and pray for these kids, and it was so amazing to see what God was doing in their lives. When I had some of the girls just come up to me and they were like, oh, it's just going to be a regular church camp. But at the end of the camp, they were so changed in their spirit. They were happier. They seemed more lighthearted. I saw so many of them speak in tongues and just praying for each other. And I even saw a couple raise their hands saying that they were called into ministry or they'd been saved for the first time. And it was the most amazing thing that I've ever seen in my whole life.
The coolest part to me about camp was just simply just sitting outside on the last night on a golf cart with students, just talking about the good things that God did in their heart, the things that they don't want to do when they get back home, the advice that they took from us as leaders and just as pastors and just volunteers, just people, just simply just hearing people out and just simply just giving simple truth. And I think a lot of people walked away just knowing that Jesus loved them and they can just go and change the world. People felt inspired. People felt propelled to just do what it was that God called them to do.
We really saw the students seek after Jesus this week. We experienced different students just crying at the altar, going after him with all their hearts, not interested in religion, but seeking him with all their hearts. And it was a privilege to be able to be part of what God was doing.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. We have such phenomenal leaders involved. And just in case it's out there, in case you have a question you'd like to get involved, you may have noticed there's some other cards out there that says about I'm interested. So if for some reason you hear these testimonies, you hear about these leaders, you want to help out in the youth ministry some way, we'd love for you to be involved in some capacity. You can fill it out with your name, your number, check one that applies with you, and then just drop it off back at the concession stand area, and we can connect with you later if this speaks to you about getting plugged in that way. So, but speaking of leaders, next we have Pastor Nathan. He's on staff here with the youth ministry. And so he's going to share just really about one of the camp first, something we've never seen happen at camp before, so this is pretty cool.
It was a Wednesday night, and each night is geared towards certain things, and this just happened to be the Holy Spirit night, which as a church, obviously, you know, this is our heartbeat. So the students were just already engaged. They're like, I just know what to do. So they just jumped right in it. The speaker at the end of the night, I should preface this, there was such a large group of students that come, so we have to split half and half the groups. So we were first that night, and the speaker issued a challenge to our students and said, hey, listen, if you guys feel led, instead of going off and eating ice cream and playing games and just having fun, make sure you guys have about 2 hours before you guys come back in here. Just spend that time praying and seeking the Lord and continue asking for those spiritual gifts to come upon you. And we had a group of us, about 20 of us, that actually just took up that challenge or said, hey, we'll do that. And what happened, we actually ended up, you know, coming into the lobby, and about 20 of us, and we were the only groups that actually was out there. About 20 of us just seeking the Lord, just really, really eager to see the Holy Spirit move in their lives. And it got to a point where I had to stand back because I realized that the students were leading it. They were doing it themselves. And just to watch students begin to prophesy over each other and pray for each other. And again, like I said, I just had to stand back, and just watching them even group up into smaller groups after that, you know, just hearing their testimonies and their stories and just crying and praying with each other. I just really blessed my heart, you know, because as Ashton and I pouring into these students, just getting a chance to see them now pouring into other students, like it was a huge blessing. And I was also like, yeah, camp was just a really big deal. And I know the Holy Spirit sealed something in their hearts, not only that night, but for the rest of their lives. So, yeah, it was just an incredible night, and it's just an incredible testimony. So
that's awesome. Yeah, so good. It's kind of this thing. There was a moment where, you know, the Holy Spirit kicked it into overdrive, and we as leaders just stood back. We're like, all right, God, you're just doing what you do. So it was really cool. But speaking of that, like, we're going to let Nick share now, because there were some cool things that God did in his heart and used him in a way he'd never really been used before. So it was pretty neat. So go ahead, Nick.
So camp was really fun. I had a great time there. But what really stood out for me was Tuesday night. The pastor called us out, and he said, if you feel led to it, go lay your hands on students, pray for them, and speak over them. And that's what I did. I let the Holy Spirit like flow through me, and I was praying over people, which was different for me because I've never really stepped out, and I've never really done that before. But I just trusted in God, and I did it. And when I was doing it, people were, like, crying on me, and they were just giving their lives to God. And they turned to me, and they said that's exactly what they needed to hear. And it was very moving for me. And it was just a great time. And I actually led some people in prayer, and it was just a beautiful time. And in that moment, I knew that that's what I wanted to do for the rest of my life, was to go into youth ministries and help kids. So I loved it. It was just a great time. I loved every minute of it.
Yeah, so good to see the students flowing in different spiritual giftings that God using them to minister. Was so good. Next, we have Bree. And just the Lord just did an amazing work in you at camp this year. So we're excited for the church to get to hear that.
Hi. Okay. So I did not want to go to camp at all. I like cried the night before because I didn't want to go. I'd rather just be home with my family and like read a book because I'm that kind of girl. But I had to go, so I show up to camp, and I am not into everything at all. Like, we have to play all these games and, like, get sweaty, and I was like, this stinks. I do not want to do this. And then we get to our first service, and I was blown away by how amazing it was. Like, it was incredible. And I realized that if I wanted to get anything out of this week of camp, that I had to change my way of thinking. Like, I had to change my thoughts of, like, I don't want to be here at all until I'm here to learn. So I did that, and then fast forward to Wednesday, and Pastor Jeff, who was our speaker for the week, told us that we would be receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and that like the whole service was going to be about the Holy Spirit. So I was really excited, and I was like, yes, this is exactly what I need. This is the next step for me in my faith. And so we get to the end of the service, and we're praying, and like asking to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I'm crying hysterically because I'm not feeling anything, and I was so frustrated. I was like, what am I doing wrong? I feel so stupid. Why don't I feel anything? So service is over now, and I decide to call my mother because, you know, she's always there for me, and I needed to calm down. So I call her, and I tell her how I feel like I'm not moving in my faith at all. Like, I'm not going backwards, but I'm not moving forwards in, like, where I want to go, and I just feel like I'm stuck in this season of life. And so I told her all that and how I wanted God to use me so bad to, like, lay hands on people and heal them and to speak prophetically over people, but I didn't feel anything. So I'm crying to her, and she's telling me I'm putting way too much pressure on myself and that I just need, like, to calm down. It's okay. So I do that. I'm calm now. So I go out to our little circle in the parking lot, and Pastor Nathan is having us go through and say what gifts we already have and then what gifts of the Holy Spirit we asked to receive. So I'm like, yay, another reason to feel stupid. So I didn't feel anything. So I'm about ready to cry again. So it comes to me, and I'm like, I'm just going to pass the baton over because I'm to the next person. So, like, I didn't feel anything. I just had nothing to say. So we go all the way through, and then Pastor Nathan has us get into a group of threes and pray over each other. So it's me, Lauren, and Haley, and they start praying. They start going at it, and I'm, like, sitting there, like, praying and asking God, like, Lord, give me something to say to influence these girls and to, like, help them in their lives. Like, I just wanted to say something, like, have something to say so bad, but I, like, nothing was coming. So I hear Lauren say something that I knew was 100% for me to hear, and then, so, like, I start to listen, and then all of a sudden she just, like, turns me and says Brielle and starts just going spitting fire, like, saying all these crazy things and, like, everything I need to hear. Like, she spoke a boldness into me, a removal of fear, like, a removal of the walls that I keep up around myself, just so many other things. And it was exactly what I needed to hear, because since third grade, I have had a friend in my life who I've been emotionally abused by. They always had to keep me so small. I had no self-confidence, no self-worth. Everything I did wasn't good enough. I didn't look right. I looked stupid. I said this dumb. I'd get a call back for a musical, and they'd be like, well, you know you're not going to get it, right? Like, just always had to keep me down and keep me small. And, like, that's been spoken to my life since I was really little, so that's always who I've been. I've been this fearful girl who, like, would never come up here and talk right now. And God used Lauren to speak through me, and I'm never going back to that. I'm never going back to that fearful girl I was before. And then I also realized that camp wasn't my place to minister to others. As much as I really wanted it to be, and I wanted to, like, speak prophetically over people, it wasn't my time. I needed to be healed so that God can use me to go do that. And so, yeah, I am. I'm never going back to the fearful, insecure, apologetic girl I was before. I'm bold, confident, determined, and I'm ready and excited for everything God has to do in my life.
That's awesome. So good. So, so good. Love seeing the life change in you, Bree. And God's going to use you to make a big impact this year. He is, he is. All right, then we have Lauren. We're so excited. So this was Lauren's last year at camp with us because she's getting ready to graduate. But God just has done works every year. We're just excited to hear about what God did in your heart this year.
So, yeah, as he said, this was my last year to go to camp. I actually am going to college in a couple weeks. But I've grown up in the church. As some of you know, I'm Pastor Scott and Char's youngest daughter. So I've been in the church since as long as I could possibly remember. And it's been a big influence in my life. I've known God. I've loved God since I was little. It's always been a passion. But I know that I want to do more. And so we get to camp, and Monday night, Pastor Jeff is talking about getting up on the box. And it was basically a sermon about taking our soapbox and putting it in the middle of our schools and taking over our, like, faith and just having the courage to step out and tell people who God is and just how he's worked through us. And so it was a really cool night and super powerful, but I get up on the box expecting that it's going to be some big emotional God comes down in glory kind of thing, and it wasn't. It was, I got up, I prayed, I came down, and I felt like everything was the same. And so we kept going through the week, and Tuesday comes, such a good message, but still kind of that same thing. And then Wednesday night comes, and Pastor Jeff just really challenges us, like Nathan said, to go out in the circle and just go pray for our church and for each other. And God really, like, used me through, like, to talk to Brielle. Like, that night was something that I hadn't experienced in so long. And so it really opened just, like, my heart to just knowing that he's able to use me in ways that I haven't thought of in forever. And it was really cool because in that same night, I realized that going into a new season of going off to college, I need to step out of the shadow and the dependency of my parents' box and step up onto my own. And so it was just like a chance for me. But it was a chance for me to realize, like, I need to take control of my faith and I need to take control of where God is leading me to go and not have to feel like I need to rely on my parents or my church or my grandparents to show me. Because for so long I've looked at it as, oh, my parents believe in this God and believe that he can do this, so he must be able to. But now it's seeing that, like, I have my own evidence in my life and my own reasons to truly pursue him and to go after him. So, yeah, it was a really powerful last year, and I couldn't be more thankful.
Awesome. It's so good. God gave such a revelation to so many students of where they were at and what they needed to hear and to take ownership in their own faith. We want to take a second to let you hear for a few more of those students and what God did in their life.
All right, my name is Nathan. What I liked about camp was the sermons. They really moved me in a lot of ways. I found a lot of good friends. And God really touched on my heart to go out and pray for people. And it was awesome.
Me and a couple people got together and just prayed and talked about God. And in those moments, I realized that I had a family within these people, which was really cool because I've never been the person to feel like I had a family outside my real family, which I guess is really stupid. But I found it really cool that I have a second family now. So.
Hi, my name is Godfrey. And the favorite part about camp was everybody would just come up to me and just pray for me, this and that. And the lake, the blob, we would just start flying. And what I learned the most was everybody cares about you no matter what. They're going to help you through it. Even when you don't even look like you're down, everybody could tell this and that. Everybody will pray for you no matter what.
Hi, my name is Hannah, and one of my favorite parts of camp was playing the games and getting to make a lot of new friends that I wouldn't normally get to make at home. But one of the most powerful parts for me wasn't really when we stood up on the box or when we did the posters, and yes, those were really powerful and I could feel the Holy Spirit, but the most powerful part for me wasn't when we were in service, but when we were sitting out in the parking lot. And we were all sitting in a circle, and we were talking about the gifts that God had given us. And Nathan had broke us off into these groups of three. And as we were praying, we started praying for our friends and all the issues that we were going through. Nathan had stopped us. And he said something along the lines of, I don't know you guys all that well, and I don't know your testimonies and your guys' stories, but I can feel God saying that you guys have some self-worth issues or image issues, and I just wanted to let you guys know that I'm praying for you. And that really hit home for me because I do have really bad self-image issues, and a lot of the time I don't like myself, but to have Nathan say that he's there and he's praying for me was really powerful for me. And after that, I just like started crying as we were continuing to pray, because it clicked that God actually can hear what we have and our issues, and that people will pray for you when you need it.
I don't know, I just look at everybody different now since I came back from camp. I always looked at everybody the same. I don't look at everybody the same no more.
Yeah. So here's the reality, church. The show must go on. God's doing amazing works in young people. Here's the beauty, all of us get to be a part of that. See, it's not individual stories, it's our story together. Isn't that beautiful? That's the beauty of being part of the church. It's not an individual story, it's the story of us together. But at the same time, like I shared, we have to be intentional of passing on to the next generation. The show goes on. See, in the closing number of the movie, The Greatest Showman, P.T. Barnum, which is Hugh Jackman's character, decides that he wants to do more stuff with his family. And so he gets ready. So to symbolically pass on the circus business to Zac Efron's character, those of you that have heard the soundtrack, there's a moment where Zac Efron begins singing the ending of the song, The Greatest Show. If you've seen the movie, what happens, of course, is Hugh Jackman takes his hat off and he tosses it to Zac Efron. And here's the thing, church, this morning. The work of God must go on. The show must go on, but hear me, it only goes on when my child, they'll go get that. It only goes on when the next generation takes up the hat. It only goes on. It only goes on then. It only goes on when we choose to look forward and we choose to be a part of it. That's when the show goes on. So whether you're 50 or 15 today, we each have a role to play. We each have a role to play in reaching the next generation and putting our focus to speak into the next generation of saying, you know what, the show goes on, Jesus. I want to help move this thing forward. I said to the other crowds, I said, the beauty of this is if you're a little bit older, you get to pick from a lot of people that are younger than you to get to mentor. I mean, come on. You get the best pick of them all. You know, because sometimes I talk with people that are a little bit older, and like they don't know what they can give to people that are younger. I'm like, you have so much to give because you have life. Can I say this? If you wonder what you have to give, just give your life. Give what you've encountered, what you've experienced, and believe it'll be enough. Just give people love. I say the two universal languages are love and laughter. Give those to people and believe it'll be enough. There's a verse in Psalms that I love, Psalm 78, verses 5 through 8. It says this, He established a testimony in Jacob and set up a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers to teach their children, so the future generation, children yet to even be born, may know. And hear this verse. They were to rise and tell their children, so they may put their confidence in God and not forget God's works, but keep his commands. Don't we want to raise up generation after generation that puts their confidence in God? But see, here's how it happens, church. It happens when it says the other generation rises and declares. You know, I love, there's one of the scriptures, one of the translations of that scripture I love, it says that one generation will stand and declare to the next generation the marvelous works of the Lord. That's how the show goes on. You know how it goes on? It goes on when we each take up our own spiritual understudies. We talked about the understudies at the beginning. We each take up those spiritual understudies and say, you know what, come along with me. See how I pray. See how I act. See how I do these things. Because remember, prayer is caught more than it's ever taught. So you want someone to help learn how to pray, let them come along with you when you pray. Pray out loud. Whatever the commitment looks like for you, but it's each of us saying, you know what, I'm taking my part in the greatest show. Taking my part because, see, the church still remains God's chosen vessel to proclaim the life-transforming message of the gospel. It's still the greatest show. We're still the chosen vessel the church is. So we each have to do our part to make sure that it goes on. And here's the challenge. You hear the camp testimonies. I've heard some from so many people about the series. They say they loved it. They said things like, you know, I really love the series. It spoke to me. It's changed how I view things. But my question is now, what are you going to do with it? Because, see, moments have to create momentum. Moments have to create momentum. It can't be enough. Students that went to camp hearing their stories, those of you that have had great encounters throughout this time, it can't just be a moment. It has to create momentum. Next week's the 15th anniversary of the church. Pastor Kevin's going to be back. There's some amazing things. And let me tell you, you want to hop on this train before it takes off. Don't you want to be a part? Don't you want to be a part of what God's doing this generation? Would you stand with me this morning? It's like the verse says. It says right there in Psalm 78, verse 8 says, they were to rise and tell their children so that they may put their confidence in God. But you know what? It takes intentionality and it takes focus making that happen. So here's what we're going to do in just a second. I'm going to pray over us. And then all along the front we have cards for you guys. It has the little top hat on it. It says, the show must go on. It has the verse on there. But here's what we're asking you all this morning. For a minute or two in your own heart, pray and ask the Lord for three people, and I want you to write them on here. You're going to keep this card with you. But for three people that are younger than you, no matter how young, how old you are, whether you're 15 or 50 in the room tonight, doesn't matter. People that are younger than you that you're going to invest in. And hear this. I know it's so important we make investment into our biological families, and it's so valuable. But hey, there's a bunch of young people out there in the world that their biological families don't love Jesus and don't serve Jesus. And who's going to help them know what it's like to live a godly life if someone doesn't step in? So for maybe one or two of you, it's saying, God, let my eyes be open to one or two people that need to see your love, that can take up next beside me. It'd be intentional. It's like I shared in the opening with the chapter in the book of Judges. No matter how great the miracle, no matter how dynamic the leader, if we do not intentionally invest in the next generation, will come a generation that doesn't know God's works or his deeds. And I say, and I want you to stay with me this morning, church, not on our watch. Not on our watch. Not on our generation, not on our children's generation, and not on our children's children's generation. But it only comes when we say the show must go on. That we're going to be intentional. We're going to make this thing happen. Jesus, I thank you for today. Jesus, I thank you for the work you're doing in hearts and in lives, God, for how you're moving on people, the work you're doing in a generation, and we stand up and declare to the next generation that their confidence may be put in God. So, Father, I pray right now the people in this room, you begin to put names on their hearts, God. Those three people that they're going to go and they're going to invest, and it's going to take something. It's going to cost something, but that's okay. Because the world was never changed by the mildly interested. So we want to give our focus and our change this morning to see you do something significant, Father. So draw us closer to you. We ask this in your name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. If you'd like to find out more about Life Church, visit www.lifechurchag.com. and engage with us on social media at Life Church AG on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.